Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode. What's up, and welcome back to the Talking Nutrition Podcast. Today, I wanted to do another good old Instagram Q&A, which we haven't done in a minute. I was looking forward to just kind of diving into questions that we get from our followers, listeners, and it's just kind of cool because it also kind of helps me help you, but then also learn, like, hey, what kind of stuff should we talk about more? As you know, right, we talk a lot about strategy, weight loss, muscle gain, those kind of things. I like to keep it practical as well. Practical takeaways that you can actually do something with. I'm not a big fan of like demonizing shit or, you know, like really kind of talking about stuff that's not necessarily conducive to like your actual goals. I think there's a lot of fear mongering online and I see it all the time. Like, I feel like now also in Norway where I live, like there's a lot of stuff going around in the mainstream media about like ultra processed foods and even just the word like ultra processed, like I do get it. Like, obviously we know what they mean, but there's so much focus on like, you know, what is a ultra processed food and whatever it is. And, you know, is this the reason? Or I even saw one where, what was it again? Is new packaging or like something like that. Like it had to do with like new packaging. And it was like, is that going to be the solution to, you know, dealing with the ultra processed food issue that we have? And like, yes, like I do agree with the fact that, you know, a diet that mostly consists of ultra processed or just, you know, mostly processed foods obviously is not going to come with a bunch of protein, bunch of fiber, bunch of micronutrients, water, like the good stuff that we need. Usually like stuff that's way more processed also has like a less favorable macronutrient composition. So there's a ton of reasons not to have those foods for the most part. But like, where's the focus, you know, on like, what should you be doing? You know what I mean? Like, okay, hey, we're demonizing these foods here, but like, what should people eat, right? Isn't that more important? Like, isn't it more helpful for me to dive into what you can actually apply, what you should be eating more of, what we can add to your healthy routine so that you can actually move forward? Instead of giving too much energy, you know, towards that fear mongering. And I do get it, right? I do get it. Of course, it is a problem. And of course, there are a bunch of foods there that, hey, we should probably minimize. But then again, I literally reshared something today on Instagram. It's like the stuff that works in health and fitness, the solution to your long-term like health and fitness goals and finally being able to lose the weight, finally being able to be healthy, improve your blood markers, whatever it is, right? Perform better, build muscle. It's all super basic stuff. And our, like, let's call it best performing clients, right? People who created the biggest kind of like lifestyle change, who I've seen completely just become like a different person, right? From a mindset level, from a happiness level, it's the coolest shit ever. But like, those people rarely, I don't like to speak in absolutes, so I won't say like never, although I cannot remember a single instance where we focus on removing anything other than one person currently who likes to see it as a little bit of a challenge because it's the last week of her cut, or last 2 weeks. But I mean, almost never do we spend any effort, you know, on restriction or, right, talking about like these foods are so bad for you, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, like, hey, this is good stuff. I'd like you to eat some more of this. Hey, what does your overall diet look like? One food is not bad per se, right? What does your diet look like? Is it mostly whole foods, minimally processed foods? Do you eat lots of single ingredient nutritious foods? If that's for the most part a yes, then great, awesome. Then you're doing most of it right, to be honest with you. So that 80-20 that we always preach, right? Or maybe the 90-10 during a fat loss phase, we never really look at that 10 or the 20%. Not in a demonizing way, I actually want you to have that 10 to 20%. I want you to have that stuff. You know what? I do still think that that is even healthier. Zooming out, right? Including mental health and those kind of things. I think that's still healthier for you because it's also going to allow you to be adherent, not have guilt or stress around food, right? Actually being able to stick to your, you know, nutrition long-term so that you can see the results without, you know, being the person who cannot go to family dinners, all right? I still think that that's actually healthier in many ways, right? Than going all clean or just completely demonizing processed foods altogether. Now, that being said, I just totally went on a rant. Let's address some questions. This is just something I read like right before hitting record, and it eased at me, you know what I mean? No, but all joking aside, like I want to keep it practical here. So I actually have four questions that I wanted to dive into today. Let's see how long this episode's going to be. I'm going to try and stick to just about 30 minutes or even less a little bit. So first off, Mette says, how have you kept track of the process in learning to get to know what works for you and your body? I really like this question. And it's a really good one because, you know, finding what works for you is it's like one of those things where, yes, we are our own individual and different approaches are going to work for different people. I'll say this for the majority of kind of like what we need to be doing, like I just said, right? The stuff we need to be doing, the habits that we need to establish and keep up, the actions that we have to take, the changes we have to make, the periodization, the food changes, and the sleep, the stress management, and all that good stuff, for the most part, is very, very much the same for most people. Now, in terms of finding what works for you, I think that is a long-term process where I haven't kept track of it, but I just kind of know. And I think it's an evolving thing as well. So I'll give you a couple examples here. Now, let me also interpret the first bit of the question differently as to how have you kept track of the process. I have logs of fucking so much tracking, you know, muscle gain, fat loss, whatever phases, for years now, on and off. I will say that, like right now I'm maintaining, I track maybe it's like every other day right now. My weight's super stable, right? But I've done this so long that, you know, I don't have to track every single day. I like it because it kind of keeps me in check, which by the way, ties into, hey, what works for me, right? But on and off, I have so much data to look back on, reverse diets, macros, during maintenance phases, during muscle gain phases. 2021, I did like a full year of muscle gain plus 2 months on top of that in the next year, followed by long, you know, cutting back in 2022. This year, it's just been coaching focus, right? We're building shit and we're building the company and we're building a team. Very excited, by the way, to announce our first or our second coach, I should say, for you guys very soon. And then we even have a third coach coming in early next year as well. So it's really cool. I'm stoked, but it's just been work focused, to be honest with you. It's just been work focused and right. My own fitness, like I'm still training, still lifting weights. I still look lean. I have a bunch of muscle still. I'm happy where I'm at, right? I keep a high protein diet. I move, I get my steps in and I just train a little bit less. And guess what? As now I will be a little bit less and less busy over time, especially towards the end of the year, a little bit of a break. I want to ramp up my training again, and then I'm going to work towards like a muscle gain goal. But going back to the keeping track of the process, we have our sheets that we use with our clients. I use the same exact one for my own stuff. And it's a great system to be fully, I mean, if I may say so myself, because I built this myself. But here's the cool thing. Here's why I think it's incredible for me. Let me say this, right? Hey, same shit, right? It works for me. But as a coach, I've looked into different systems or whatever, but nothing does it as well as the Google Sheets that we use that I get to update and work on over time. And it's such a great dashboard to have because it shows you weight, average weight. There's a graph, right? Measurements, photos. Like we have everything in kind of like your dashboard. Yeah. Which allows you to also long-term just look back and see exactly where you were months ago. Sometimes even years ago, if you have enough data. Now, In terms of learning what works for you and your body, to the last part, what works for you and your body, right? Your body. People have different amounts of muscle mass. People have different amounts of fat mass, right? Some people deal with a lot of stress. Others don't, right? Some people sleep amazing. Other people rarely sleep enough. And all these factors, plus more, all play into your metabolism. As to keeping track, I think a lot is going to tie into what I just mentioned, as well as your food logs and those kind of things, because we can learn from that, right? But being proactive with that whole process, I think that's where you get to know. Because I think there's too many people just tracking and those kind of things without intention. Like, you're not being proactive. You're not really trying to learn. Like, we're just looking at numbers. We're just looking at food goes on a scale, right? How much is it? Boom, plug it in the app. And you even skip looking into, hey, like, how many calories is it? How many protein, carbs, and fats do I get from this specific food? Hey, you know what? Let me scroll down in Chronometer, which shows you everything, right? What about fiber? Hey, I just found out, like, this food gives me a lot of fiber. Awesome. Cool. Okay. Hey, vitamins and minerals, we get to learn. Also very important as to, like, what works for you. Let's think of food sensitivities. Let's think of foods that you actually enjoy. Let's think of trying the many methods that could work for you. To give you an idea, we do an exercise with our clients. It's called the Perfect Day of Eating, where they pre-log a full day of eating based on specific guidelines that I give them. And then I tell them, like, hey, right, log it anywhere, like, next week. See how I like that. And then I'll recommend them to do the following. I'm like, hey, you know what? Now that you build that full day, and I'll give them feedback, right? I'd like you to follow along to it to see how you like it. Hey, maybe you like that meal plan, in quotes, approach, right? Maybe you don't. Maybe we're going to rely on repeating meals in the future. Maybe every single meal for a little bit of time, right? Maybe 1-2 daily meals. I like to repeat, let's say, like, 3 out of 4 currently. And then I still change it up, right? I mix up, like, individual ingredients, but still, I like to have that structure, you know? But just like that, we play around with stuff. And I think the keeping track of stuff is a lot just in your mind also. Because this whole thing, this whole nutrition, health, and fitness thing, it's like trial and error, finding what works for you as much as the principles and the things that we need to create, right? Habit-wise and all that, like, that's very similar, right? But what's going to stick, I think we'll learn and we'll realize. And like we talked in the last episode about, like, to some extent, like, you absolutely have to hit roadblocks and fuck up and fail and see what doesn't work in order to really know what does work for you. Now, there's also something to be said for, and this is just going to be another rant, but there's also something to be said for actually looking into, like, hey, currently, I don't feel like this is working for me, but let me give it an honest shot. And that's a big one, and we need to mention this one, because I think a lot of people will hit friction, feel uncomfortable. Hey, change, right? Hey, guess what, guys? Change is uncomfortable, but, like, a lot of people will hit that and then stop altogether, at least slow down, without really getting to that other side of that friction, that uncomfortable feeling of, like, hey, you know what? This was difficult. Now I'm good at it. We need to also push through. So this, and I'm fully biased here, but I believe in this shit. This is where coaching comes in. That's why I have coaches, right? That's why my coaches have coaches, and you know, my mentors have mentors, and, you know, like, the accountability, the guidance, the objective set of eyes who can be there with you. Because at the end of the day, thinking of tracking, even, for example, like, I like to track. I like that. I don't need to do it. I will do it 100% of the time if I'm in a muscle gaining phase or a fat loss phase, and a maintenance every now and then. And I've learned from that, right? And that's what we do with our clients too. It's like, hey, let's use tracking to your advantage. We're going to create the results, maintain the results, teach you about nutrition, portion control, etc. And then we can step away from it. And guess what? We play around. Hey, let's, you know, we've done this now. You're back at maintenance. Let's try not tracking. And then you get to decide. But I think to wrap up this answer, I think we need to try different things that are logic, right? Things that make sense to try out. The European in me still comes out sometimes. Like, things that are logic, that makes sense to try out, you know, because, you know, and I'm not saying like just any random shit that you see on social media, because there's a lot of confusing stuff out there. I know that, right? But still, trying different things, also being open to trying new stuff, because guess what, guys, like, and I mean this in the best way possible, if you are in a state currently where you are not happy with where you're at, then there's a reason for being here. And that's okay, right? But it's confronting, it's also empowering, but like, it is the truth. There's a reason that we're here then. Let's then also accept that what we have been doing is not conducive to your goals. Again, I mean this in the best way possible. We need to let go of what we have been doing, right? The normal, in quotes, and be open to new stuff. And then we just try shit. Try different things. And then eventually you'll find out. I hope that answers your question. Bit of a difficult one to answer, but I hope that all makes sense. Next question from Bernate says, what is your opinion about not eating breakfast, but waiting until lunch? Like intermittent fasting, reducing your eating window. What are your thoughts about this? Good question. This is one of those things that I think is not great for, I'm going to say, the majority of the people, if it's not supervised by maybe like a coach or, you know, someone who knows their shit. Because here's the thing too, guys. Fasting can absolutely be a great tool with certain hormonal conditions, gut issues. Like there's a bunch of, like there's a time and place for fasting. Absolutely. And you know what? I mean, I don't call it, but like, or I don't call it intermittent fasting, but I also kind of do a form, right? Where I think my last meal of the day is usually 9 p.m., 8 or 9 p.m. And then I often won't eat until 10 or 11. And that's just how I do things. But like you can apply it, you know what I mean? But where it goes wrong, I think, is where people either one, see it online, hear about autophagy and, you know, brown fat burning, whatever it is, you know, and then they put too much kind of like focus there without working on energy balance, without having their nutrition in check, without looking at so many other things. Hey, if your stress levels are okay, cool, right? Fine. However, if your stress levels are like fucking, you know, not in a great place, maybe we shouldn't be fasting, right? If your goal is to absolutely build as much muscle as possible, knowing that, right, food, calories, protein, right, by definition is anabolic, right? You need the energy and the building blocks to build. When you eat enough protein, I think it's the 20 gram plus portion, you spike muscle protein synthesis, which is a fancy word for like muscle building, right? And there's also, right, muscle protein breakdown. Guess what? Fasting is a catabolic. When you're fasting, it is more catabolic, right? More related to breaking tissue down. That's what catabolic stands for. Anabolic is building up. Catabolic is breaking down. Fasting in nature, right? Or by, how do I say this? Sorry. I'm very European today. That's my excuse. No, fasting is very catabolic in nature. So let's keep that in mind. So I always want to know what's your reasoning, because to be honest with you, I can't give you my opinion on fasting or my thoughts on fasting. What's it for? To relieve gut issues? For claims like autophagy, right? For any other reasoning? Is it for fat loss? Is it because we can't stick to our energy balance? Is it because, right? The list goes on. So feel free to message me also on Instagram if you have a follow-up question there, because I would really like to know more in terms of kind of like why you want to try it out. And then I think I can give you a little bit of a better answer, and then I can look into it for you. Because there's the time and place for it. It's just not for everyone. And what I do see in the practice, right, in experience, and I've been there myself, right, many years ago. I think it was seven, 8 years ago. If you hear about fasting, and I heard about it because of a YouTube video from a CrossFit athlete, Rich Froning, and I tried it, and I just took it too far, you know what I mean? Without focusing on my macros and those kind of things. I think when people are left to their own devices and they just try something and there's no true intention, we're just trying shit, it can often be taken too far. People kind of like, you know, create weird relationships to food, add a stress to the body, right? It's a big, it depends. So let's continue our chat in the DMs. That being said, right, anyone else listening, I know there's a bunch of people listening these days, which is fucking super cool. If you have any questions, hit me up on Instagram, right? At yourinvestors_OCS. You can always find that in the show notes. When you scroll all the way down, you'll see our podcast IG, my IG, and then Christine's as well. Hit me up, right? Hit me up because I like doing these Q&A episodes. I think it's great to dive into what you guys want to learn about. And of course, again, with follow-up questions, I think we can have a good conversation. And that's kind of like my way of, first of all, thanking you for listening to the podcast. A second is like, hey, I know how confusing it can be. And I've been there. Like, that was me in 2012, right? Going online, trying to find this stuff out, you know, through documentaries, blogs, forums. And it was such a mess, you know. And as much as like social media wasn't as big of a thing back then, I think that's the time when we had like MySpace and shit still. But it's like, I do think I had Facebook at the time. I do remember that. Yeah, Facebook was around. Instagram, I think I got like that year or maybe something. I can't remember, but doesn't matter anyway. Now it's way different, right? I think, and especially with TikTok and, you know, I think we're way more exposed to BS, let's call it, right? BS, bullshit, which is also a word that's used too much in the fitness space. Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise we'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode. But I do believe in a no bullshit approach. Anywho, next question. Siv, how do you find your maintenance? Great question. Let me break this one down in kind of like a TLDR version, I guess. I always have our clients, and this is exactly what we do, right? So take notes, do this stuff. If you're trying to figure it out, like do this. I always have our clients start off with a food diary. For a week, we track food, we track body weight, so that afterwards, right, first of all, I can see, and I tell them, and this is the difficult part, I'm like, hey, don't make any changes. No changes yet. Eat exactly how you have been for the last, let's call it weeks and months. We weigh every single day, so we see those fluctuations. We, you know, we pull that average weight, which is going to go to that dashboard I talked about. Then we have our food tracking, seeing what comes in. And then, first of all, I'm going to know exactly what changes we need to be making. And then second, we're going to see, hey, this is the food coming in. This is what your body is doing. If you're losing weight, you're in a deficit. If you're gaining weight, you're in a surplus. If you roughly maintain, you're at maintenance. Now, from there, you do want to also start looking at, hey, what's your estimated maintenance calories? You want to calculate. We use the Mifflin St. George equation for that, which is great. We also have one on our website. So if you want, I can send you a link to our calculator. But also there, it's an estimation, right? So I look at, okay, what's ideal kind of like, you know, a maintenance, or what do we expect maintenance to be, I should say? What's our ideal protein intake like? How far are you from that? Can we now start to ramp up your protein? Because I want to say 9 out of 10 times we need to increase protein. Most people are under eating protein. And then as for the calories, like if you're below that, let's work your way there. If you're above that, let's work your way down. If you're just about a maintenance, let's stay there for a little bit. I want to see how your body responds, especially as we make those changes like protein. And then we increase our whole food intake. Going back to the point that I brought up in the very beginning, it's like we focus on like adding fruits and vegetables, adding single ingredient whole foods, right? Adding good stuff so that that 20, you know, 10%, whatever, can be there. But we focus on the 80, 90, you know, percent minimally processed or whole foods. And that's a process. So that's going to take some weeks. And here's the thing. People don't want to invest that work for multiple weeks to then find out their maintenance. It's like, well, that's where you got to start, you know? And if you are not sure, hit me up. I'll help you out, especially when it comes to like next steps. But I mean, come January, which is in less than 2 months, like people are going to jump in and they're going to have no idea. They're going to try a whole bunch of stuff. They're going to fall victim to all the shit that you're going to see online. And guess what? It's not going to last. What you could do is spend the rest of the year eating enough, be at maintenance, eat enough protein, work on those basics, the whole foods, and spend time finding your maintenance. Because here's the thing, the calculation, et cetera, like it's an average based on a calculation, right? It's an estimation. And you could be on either end of the extreme. Like your metabolism could be faster, slower. There could be underlying conditions, right? Which is, of course, not something I can just kind of like address here on a podcast. But there's many reasons for your body, right, to be burning more or fewer calories. And taking that time, right, using the calories too, by the way. And what I like to do is working towards that. And you know what? Like if we're at that maintenance, let's push a little higher. Let's see how high we can crank that up. I like a high energy output with a high energy intake, right? Food coming in, but also moving a bunch. So we want to get those steps in a good spot. You want to be lifting weights. And guess what? If you do that, kind of playing into like the end of the year, right? If you find your maintenance, you take the time to find maintenance and you slowly ramp it up, meaning, hey, add 10 carbs, see what happens. Add 10 carbs next week, see what happens. Add 10 carbs, see what happens, right? If you're relatively stable, great, awesome, add more. If you then see a peak, right? Take it down a notch, take a step back, just chill there for a little bit, see how it goes. Just one way to do it, but that's what I personally like to do. And that's what I would recommend the majority of people now, knowing that it's like early November, it's going to be, 10, 11, I think it's going to be 13 to 14 when this episode launches. It's like, hey, we're getting there, you know? It's going to be like a month and a half between this episode when it's up and like the new year. Don't try to like diet and shit. Like, don't try to just jump in. This is just kind of like just general, right? And not just to the person asking the question, but like just general, like month and a half. Just focus on feeling good, eating enough. Like if you have, you know, family festivities, whatever, good meals and, right, use the calories, build the habits. Then maybe if you want to go into fat loss, start in January. Or if you want to build muscle first and you're already slightly leaner, amazing. You can already start to ramp it up. But either way, I always have people start off at maintenance. Or if they're overweight and we do have a bunch of lose, we'll usually go for like an 80%, see how they respond. But then either way, for the holidays, hey, we're going to be maintaining. Like fat loss is not the goal then. Now, last question for today, because we are coming up on time. So design for sports. Off the top of our heads, how unregulated is the supplement industry and what to look for in high quality brands you trust? Great question. Let's unpack this one. So I know people who own supplement companies. And as much as those people are legit, and they actually have dosing based on research, and they have effective ingredients, which I will say there's not that many brands out there. If you look at kind of like the majority of the stuff, there's not that many brands out there that actually include, first of all, good forms of, you know, micronutrients, and then second, research backed dosing. And a lot of times it's just like fillers, or, you know, like it's like, oh, you need to like 500 milligrams of this compound for it to work, plus this compound for it to actually, right, absorb. But then that second compound is not in it. And then, you know, you see like 10 milligrams instead of like 500, whatever it is, you know. I recently put up a blog as well about a proprietary blends. That's also a big one to check out. If you want to go to our website, so odysseycoachingsystems.co, so not com, but co, go to the blog and you'll find it's a pretty recent blog actually, where I talk about supplements and honest food labels, or, you know, supplement labels compared to kind of like, you know, brands that are hiding it. But as to like how regulated it is, it's just not, you know what I mean? It's really like, you could basically start a company, put together whatever you want and start selling it. It's really, that's basic, right? That means that anyone could put together a supplement that does have no effects, right? But then they could go and market it for whatever, you know, right? With whatever big claim and make money off of that. So what to look for in a high quality brand? I like brands, and I'm not plugging this because I'm not even like, you know, connected to them in any way, but I know Legion is really good because they actually have research to kind of like back up the stuff they, right, that they put into their supplements. Legion is great. It's all like evidence-based, which I love. They're super transparent. They even put on their website, like, hey, like these supplements, right, they might help, but if you don't address like the big movers, right, energy, macros, those kind of things, like they're not going to do that much. And you don't need supplements to be successful. they're super transparent. So that's just one of them. Legion is really good. And they have a lot of great information too on our blog, by the way. So definitely check that one out. So Legion Athletics. Generally speaking, I mean, look for third-party testing. That's a big one. Look for, go to labdoor.com. So lab as in L-A-B and then door.com. Here's one word, right? Labdoor. They don't have all supplement brands on there, but they have, you know, quite a good amount. Like the main ones are on there. That could be one to check out. And they actually give it a rating based on, hey, what's the claim and what's actually in the product. Then third-party testing, like I said. And what I like to do as well is like, hey, if I'm looking into a certain supplement and it's like, okay, so this compound, okay, that's what I'm looking for. Go to examine.com, look it up. Go to, I don't know, like magnesium, okay, and read examine.com, which also lists all the most recent, right, research, and they break it down into plain English, which is great. Like examine.com is like the biggest, most accurate database there is when it comes to supplements and micronutrients, right? So for example, hey, magnesium. Okay, you're going to learn about the different forms, which ones are great, which ones can cause digestive issues, which ones are kind of like not absorbed well. Hey, what about the dosing? What effects, right? There's so much stuff on there, which is great. Go there. It's a really good website. That would be my biggest recommendations. Like, do your own research, because you cannot go on a website or, you know, walk into a store and just know, like, okay, this is going to be a great brand. You know, you can look at the ingredients, but for the most part, you're not going to know what's in there. But let me say this, like, again, most, like, it's super unregulated. And for the most part, there's so much trash out there. Not getting into specific brands, but right, a lot of it is a waste of your money. And I wouldn't want you to waste your money, because, I mean, already now with the economy, like, not being in the best spot, you probably don't want to be spending a bunch of money on stuff that doesn't work anyway. And then last but not least, you don't need supplements to be successful in your health and fitness journey. They can definitely help. I'm a big fan of a lot of supplements, but again, make sure that what you put in your body and what you spend your money on is at least research, right? Ask a professional for help. If you don't know, ask, right? Because again, I see this. I recently went on a different rant on my Instagram, but it's like, I see just these statements being made online, and it's like, hey, you need this supplement because it's going to do this and that. And right, you hear it about, you know, you hear about something because of whatever podcast, and it's like, well, including ours, right? Don't jump on something just because we talk about something. You know what I mean? That's why we rarely bring up supplements. It's like, no, I want you to make that decision yourself, but also do your due diligence. You know what I mean? Don't just go like on Joe Rogan and then hear like one 10-second clip about like Turkesterone and be like, oh, I got to get on that. Like, no, like do your own research, check examine.com, and soon enough, you'll find out like that shit does work. You know what I mean? So like also there, people will jump on that. Brands will jump on that marketing wise. There's so much stuff going around, you know? So be mindful, be very critical when it comes to that stuff. And that really goes for any health and fitness advice that seems very out there in the media, on social media. And to leave, you know, to wrap today up, I would say in general, the biggest thing to look out for is kind of like set statements, if that makes sense, if that's the right way to say it. It's like, this does this, right? This is the best, right? Or this is the worst, or whatever it is. Those kind of claims, red flag right away. On the other hand, right? Or for example, right, hey, this will make you fat, or this makes you lose fat, whatever it is. Or on the other hand, if you hear someone be like, hey, it seems to be that this is the case, right? That's more of a, right, a claim or a statement that sounds like someone who knows they're talking about, because they know there's usually not, right, a yes or a no. It's not a black or white. There's a lot of gray area. There's a lot of, hey, this seems to be the case. The right person will tell you, hey, I don't know. The right person will always tell you, I don't know, but like, let me look it up for you. Or they'll say, hey, it depends. Give me more context so that I can actually help you. So that's the stuff to look out for. Thanks again for listening. Great episode. Great little mini rant, I guess. It wasn't even a short episode. It's already 37 minutes in, so I'm going to stop talking. Thanks again for listening. As always, if you enjoyed this, Hey, first of all, feel free to hit me up when it comes to like new questions for future Instagram episodes or Instagram Q&A episodes, I should say. And as always, do us a massive favor. This is all just word of mouth, right? No advertising. We will not do that. It's super annoying. So the only investment I'm going to ask from you is a quick 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple. And then we'll talk soon. All right, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd love to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.